Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian, and today we will be continuing our study of Tehillim, Perek Ayin Zayin 77. So we are on this next mizmor, also attributed to Asaph. It is a song of exile, of Golus. And within that song, we will encounter some moments of hope, moments of nostalgia, as we recollect better days. Days of Hashem's very close encounters with us. And as we read through the Perek, we'll see that the tone is not so much an accusatory tone, as we have seen in our past Prakim, but there seems to be almost like a wistful tone, a tone of sighing, or of krechtzing, if you will, a tone of nostalgia. What happened to those days? Pasuk Aleph 1, Lamenatzeach al Yidusun la'asaf mizmar. To the conductor, a song of Yidusun, the song of Asaph. Yidusun has been identified perhaps as a family of singers or perhaps an instrument. Rashi maintains that the word Yidusun is a play on words for the word datot or dinim, laws and judgments that relate to Am Yisrael. These may be judgments of Hashem, that may bring punishment on Am Yisrael, or there may be a double meaning here, the laws and judgments that are passed by nations in order to persecute Am Yisrael. Think of the Nuremberg laws. So Yidusun is a song about the laws, about judgments, whether it's judgments from God or laws that are passed to persecute Am Yisrael. Recall in Megillas Esther, speaking of the laws of the Persian Empire, Ki chein dvar hamelech lifnei kol yodei das vadin. So this idea of das is the idea of laws, of judgments. Pasuk Beis 2, Koli el Elokim ve'etz aka. My voice is directed to God and I cry out. Koli el Elokim v'ha'azin elai. My voice is directed to God, v'ha'azin elai, listen to me. This repetition, Koli el Elokim, Koli el Elokim, to show that it's a repetitive, that I keep crying out, I continuously cry out, and I am begging, v'ha'azin elai, listen to me. So ha'azin can be interpreted as an imperative construct, lashon sivoy, God, please listen to me. Or as Rav Hirsch maintains, it means God indeed does listen to me, and he indeed hears my cries, despite my not receiving an immediate answer to my pleas. Within the next few psukim, there are several references to the conversations that the Meshorer, who may be speaking on behalf of himself, witnessing the suffering, and certainly he is speaking on behalf of any sufferer, particularly those that are experiencing the tremendous travails of the Golus. There are references to the conversations that he has with himself, and within those conversations are lots and lots of questions. Quite a few psukim begin with questions, and the answers are not forthcoming. At times, the Meshorer is left speechless. Pasuk Gimel 3, B'yom Tzarasi Hashem Darashti. On the day of my troubles, I sought out Hashem. Yadi Laila Nigra Velotafug. My hand that was wounded was oozing and could not stop. Me'anahi nachem nafshi, my soul refuses to be consoled. So this speaks of the sufferer actively seeking God out when he's wounded and hurt, and it seems impossible to find any kind of relief or consolation. And then the sufferer cries out from the pain, and the cries are indeed directed to God, but when he thinks about God, and when he's left in deep thought, his pain only intensifies when he is contrasting his current predicament with past miracles, and when he recalls the times when God's presence was indeed felt, and therefore he's up at night contemplating the current predicament and contrasting that with the past. Within this mizmor, we see the idea of sicha, three times speaking, here speaking to oneself, trying to find a solution, attempting to make sense of what he's going through. And sicha, as we know, is also a type of tefillah, of prayer, a conversation with God as a result of deep emotion. So even though he's speaking to himself and attempting to find answers, the ideal state is really to direct that self-talk and inner conversations to God. So we have in verse 4, Dalid, Ezkara Elokim ve'ehemaya, I remember Hashem and I moan, I speak of it, perhaps to myself, perhaps in prayers, a sicha, I speak to it, perhaps I speak to others, v'tisatef ruchi sela, and then when I speak about it and I contemplate it, my spirit becomes weak and I faint and I fall over from the sadness as I recollect my past. So we have that idea of sicha, and then we see this idea of sicha in verse number 7, Zion as well, as kara niginasi balayla. Im levavi asicha v'yachapes ruchi. I recall my music at night. At night when it's dark and no one is about, my thoughts are racing. And I think about the music of the Beis HaMikdash that was played when it was still standing. I meditate and I speak to my heart and my spirit is searching. And then again, we also have this idea of sicha in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Uba'alilosecha asicha. I will speak of your works, of your wonders. So now let's go back to continue with our train of thought. We continue with Pasuk Hey, Vav, and Zion 5, 6, and 7, where the Meshorer becomes so consumed with confusion that sleep evades him, and he ultimately becomes speechless and confused. And the next few Pesukim begin with very, very difficult questions, questions that don't necessarily have answers. And just listen to the rapid-fire questions, almost like a stream of consciousness in the next three Pesukim, which is a series of very, very difficult rhetorical questions of someone who's experiencing pain and isolation or witnessing others going through horrors. Pasuk Ches 8, Halolamim yiznach Hashem velo yosif letzos od? Will God reject us forever and will he never be appeased? Pasuk 9, Efes lanetzach hasto? Is his God kindness, is his chesed gone forever? Gamar omer ledor vador? His words of hope and his promise, are they also gone forever? Has God annulled the promise that we are the Am HaNivchar? Hashachach HaNos Kel, has he forgotten how to have pity? Im Kafat Ba'af Rachamav Sela, has his anger closed off his compassion? Where's God's unconditional compassion? He asks those questions that many have asked when seeing suffering, when experiencing suffering. We saw these questions in past Prakim. As we have said in the last couple of Prakim, these questions are asked in Megillas Eicha, the Megillah of Chorban and suffering. And now, the next few Pesukim, he tries to answer those questions. Now, as in previous Prakim, these questions and meditations lead him to action in the form of prayer, of supplication. Because when all avenues are closed, there is nothing really left but to pray. The questions and even anger towards God, the bewilderment, is directed and channeled within prayer. And therefore, verse number 11, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Va'omar chalosi hi shenos yamin elyon. These thoughts are there, and the idea of chalosi can either mean to terrify me, it's a lashon of fear, or I feel hollow, so hollow that I don't know what to do anymore. So that the right hand, shenos yamin elyon, that the right hand of the elyon, of the Most High, of God, will change. Shenos from the lashon of lishanos, to change. The point of suffering, what we are saying here, is the point of suffering is to render a change in me. It's to shake me up. And as a result, if I'm shaken up, then shenos yamin elyon, then there will be a change in the right hand of God, meaning how God interacts in the world. When we speak of miracles, for example, we speak of Hashem's right hand, the yamin, the right hand. The Sfarno suggests, however, the chalosi is a lashon of tefillah, as we have just said, that his self-talk and the solution to his problem is that he acts in by praying. So this chalosi is the lashon of tefillah, like in Vayichal Moshe. So that it would read, I have all these questions. God's mercy is not evident. The exile is so terribly painful and long. And I ask these questions, and chalosi, my prayer, is that shenos yamin elyon, that the right hand of God changes to act with compassion. Psukim Yud Beis through Tesvav. This now the Meshorer is saying, now I go back and I think again about all of God's greatness and his wonders. And he's thinking about this not to be bitter. He's thinking about the contrast in order to bring hope that this relationship will be present once again. So Psukim Yud Beis through Tesvav is a general introduction to these wonders. And then we move to the end of the parak, which alludes to Matan Torah, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, which occurred at the most unexpected moments, when Klal Yisrael were about to either drown or be decimated by the pursuing Egyptians. So we move to Pasuk Yud Zayin 17. Ra'ucha Mayim, Elokim Ra'ucha Mayim Yachilu. The water saw you, God, the water saw you and trembled, and therefore did God's bidding by splitting. Af Yir Gazun Tahamos, the depths even shook and convulsed. When there is a tidal wave, what happens is sort of like an earthquake underneath the water. So everything was convulsing, and so that the sea would split. The Meshorah questioned before whether God's mercy is present, whether God has compassion. And now he's answering his own question. Just look at history. The water split for Am Yisrael. And according to Chazal, the waters all over the world split as well. So there was no doubt as to the miracle that occurred. The Sforno, who previously told us that Va'omer Chalosi, and I say as a result of my troubles, Chalosi, I should pray so that change will occur, he points out the impact of prayer. The impact of prayer is we saw the sea split as a result of Tefillah, Va'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And there, God indeed showed mercy. Mercy is activated as a result of Tefillah. The Parak continues to describe the miracles of the Yamsuf. And then we move to Pasuk Chaf 20. Biyam darkecha ushvilcha b'mayim rabim. Your path, God, was through the sea, through the mighty waters. Ve'ikvosecha lo noda'u. But your tracks, your footsteps could not be seen. What does that mean? It means that there's the added dimension of the miracle, is that the sea returned to its prior state after it split, with no trace of the tremendous miracle that occurred. Think of a tsunami or a tidal wave. There always be remnants or damage or soot. But here there was no trace, and there was no obvious evidence of God after the fact. But it takes a believer to recall the miracle and say, yes, of course it came from God. And then we conclude in Pasuk Chaf 20. Nachisa katzon amecha. After the splitting of the sea, you, Hashem, led your people like sheep. Biyad Moshe v'Aaron, in the hands of Moshe and Aaron, God cared for us in the 40-year trek in the wilderness. And this image of God caring for Am Yisrael like a shepherd with Moshe and Aaron under the direction of God strikes the image of a people who are fed, who are nurtured, who are cared for with a tremendous amount of compassion from Hashem. This is the answer to the Meshorer's previous questions. Has God rejected us? Is his mercy gone? Hal olamin yiznach Hashem hashachach hanos kel? Does he really have any mercy? He had mercy in the past, he says, and he brought us to a geula. Hashem will do it once again. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.